I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And while you're turning there, just hold that place. And I'd like to read out of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going through the book of Hebrews. And, as we've been in this 32nd verse, for while having considered each of the names that the Spirit of God was pleased to put in this 32nd verse, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. This evening I'd like for us to look at the faith of David. I've entitled this Five Smooth Stones and the Faith of David. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we call upon your holy and blessed name, we do thank you, for the privilege to be, Lord, where your word is honored. Your holy and blessed, immutable word. Lord, I ask you this evening, Lord, would you bless your word to our understanding and comfort. Lord, as we consider that which you've said, I pray that you would honor your word to the calling out of your sheep, to the establishing the comfort of your people. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I was reading just a moment ago. I'm going to just share this with you. I was thinking as we were praying together that which the psalmist said in 138 verse 2 concerning God's word. David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. When God speaks, and we speak of his name, and we're going to look at that in just a few minutes concerning his name. When we speak of the name of the Lord, I looked that word up, and it means the authority, it means the character. It means all that Almighty God is in His holiness, in His sovereignty, in His justness. Almighty God, His name. And the Scripture says that God Almighty has magnified His Word above all His name. That's one of those statements that you just read and you're lost in the wonder of that thought. The importance of the Word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Lord said, my Word will never pass away. Everything that we see is going to be burnt up. The Lord said, my word's going to endure forever. He has exalted, magnified His Word above all His name. I pray that as we consider the Word of God tonight, and I just want to say, as a word of thankfulness, I know this, that all over this world, there's assemblies where people are meeting together, and everything is being considered except the Word of God. They talk about everything else. I told you about that lady in Franklin that came up to me after the second time that she heard me preach. And she said, "I've noticed something." She said, "Both times you preached out of the Bible." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Where does your preacher preach out of? What does he preach out of?" She said, "Well, newspaper articles, current events, you know, social issues." I'm going to tell you something. Everything else is going to burn up. God Almighty has exalted and magnified His Word above His name. God help us this evening to be serious as we hear the Word of God. Concerning the faith of David, I looked at these names. After David is the faith of Samuel, and then it goes into the prophets, and I want to look at each of the prophets, beginning with Isaiah. When it comes to David, I mean, think of how much is written. How many books have been written concerning and mention David? Concerning the faith of David, I know this, there's no doubt about it. David is a picture, is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 18:46-50 says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people unto me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." Now here, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Our great David. And as he was speaking, he was setting forth, declaring his love to Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ himself, typified as David, he received strength as the Son of Man. As the Son of God, he God, omnipotent. And though we cannot separate, I mean, you read in the Gospels, and we can read as the Lord would do things, and you could definitely see the characteristics of His humanity. Jesus wept. "I thirst." You know, he tired. And you could see His deity. He knew the thoughts of men, walked on the water. He just, God, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. But as the Son of Man, he received strength. And now he sits upon his throne as the conqueror of him who finished the work that was given to him by his Father in the great redemption of His elect. Now, of all the things that could be considered about David, I mean, there's just chapter, chapter, chapter of David, but of all the things concerning David, what I'd like to look at tonight concerning David is the slaying of Goliath. When David came and slew Goliath, and I pray that the Spirit of God teach us the gospel in this blessed chapter concerning the slaying of Goliath. And 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm not going to go through every verse, but I want to go through numerous verses of this chapter and consider the faith of David. I want us to look and remember. Now, David is a picture of Christ, and everything that we see in this chapter. Here, this man, David, a real human being, who God raised up to be the king in Israel. But David is a picture of Christ. And though I know, and I've said before, many other much wiser than I have said that no picture is ever perfect. But we do see in David a blessed picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, concerning his faith, I want us to look at David and the enemy of David. The enemy. 1 Samuel 17:1. Now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdemim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, depending on which measurement you use, I've seen so many measurements. He was somewhere between 9'8" and 11 feet. I don't know. It just depends on how. Some people say that a cubit's 18 inches. Some say 20. A span is roughly half a cubit. So he was somewhere between 9'8" on the low end and 11 feet. He was a big guy. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He was a big fella, 9 foot something plus, and the armor that he wore weighed somewhere around 350 pounds. That's a big guy, a big guy. So now here's David, and here's Goliath described. Here is a picture of what opposes God's people and therefore stands in opposition before Almighty God. All the Philistines, that which opposes the people of God, is a picture of the flesh, it's a picture of sin, it's a picture of self, it's a picture of this world. And rallying behind all this is Satan, their great Goliath. The Lord told those Jews, He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Now David is going to be, as all believers are, is going to be made aware of his adversary. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 7:23, "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. A believer knows that there is great opposition in this world toward him. He sees the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. It's there. He knows that this world is in direct opposition. He knows the God of this world is not the God that he serves. God's people know that they are sojourners. They're pilgrims. Now, arrayed in all of this armor, that massive height, this giant was more than natural Israel could handle. And likewise, sin, self, world, Satan, more than we handle too. We're weak creatures, frail creatures. But it is when we realize our weakness and the strength of our God, that's when we're strong. You want to see a strong believer? It's one that believes God. Rest in the Lord. Now, Goliath's delight was to mock the people of God. And therefore, to mock God Himself. That's what the Lord told Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You remember the ones that Saul was persecuting was the people of God. The Lord said, no, you're doing that to me. You do that to my people, you're doing that to me. That's my body. And this Goliath, he just dared anybody, just arrogant, to defy him, to make a challenge, made a challenge to that effect. Look at verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Now here's one that's truly, he was a strong man. And the scripture says, unless there's one that's stronger than this strong man, unless there's one that's able to come and bind him and spoil his goods, how could there be any freedom? How is there going to be any liberty unless one stronger than the strong man? Can you imagine how that opposing figure must have looked? I mean, later on, we're going to find out Saul told David, he said, this guy right here, Goliath, he's been a warrior since his youth. I mean, this guy started off being a soldier. He must have been a big boy. He's a big guy now. Well, here's the plight. And he's going to set a challenge out now. He said, I'm a Philistine. He said, why should we get these two armies to go together and fight? Why don't you choose you a man? You choose a man. And you get your guy to come out and fight me. You whip me, we'll be your servants. I whip you, you be our servants. Well, Scripture says that when Saul and all Israel, verse 11, heard these words, the Philistine, they were dismayed, greatly afraid. He defied, verse 10, the armies of Israel. Give me a man, he said, that we may fight together. Well, I'll tell you this. What power do we have to choose our deliverer? What power do we... You give me a man to fight me. What power does a human, a fallen creature, what power does a man like me or you have to go up against this giant opposition that we face. Sin. Satan. You choose a man. I'll tell you what's going to have to be done. God's going to have to choose a man. God's going to have to provide Himself. God Almighty is going to have to choose His servant, His deliverer, His mighty one to come into this world and deal with that which opposes God and His people. This is what John thought when the army of Israel heard that. They were dismayed. They were just sorely afraid. Remember John on the Isle of Patmos? When he was talking about, it was one that sat on the throne and had a book in his hand. Who's worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof? There was the book. The book of God's eternal covenant, grace and mercy and the redemption of man. Who's worthy to take that book? The book of God's redemption, the book of God's eternal counsels to show mercy. Who's worthy to open that book, to break the seals thereof? Who's worthy to look on it? And there was none found. Heaven, hell. And John said, and I wept much because none was found. And a strong angel, he said unto me, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book and to open the seals thereof. We need that great tribe of Judah to stand in our stead. The Lion, the Root of David, that has prevailed to open the book of God's eternal covenant of grace and mercy. And to open that book, loose the seals thereof, and to set forth God's purpose. David's enemies are our enemies. Look at David's humility. Now here was a man, just flip back one page somewhere in that area. Just 1 Samuel 16:13. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him. That's David. In the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now here's the next chapter. Time has passed since that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon David. David is the anointed king. David is God's king. And David knows it. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon David. And David, as the humble servant, waiting on God until all of God's enemies, all of David's enemies and God's enemies are made his footstool, David waited on God for the manifestation of who he was. He's the king. And Saul is sitting on the throne in Israel. What does David do? David, the one who by faith waited on God. Look at verse 12. Samuel 17:12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the name of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. And next unto him, Abinadab. And the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest. 3 elders followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. Now you think about this. And David's the king. And what's he doing? He's going to wait on God. Humble as the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself. And the Philistine drew near, morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain and their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Now here's the king. Here's the king of Israel, anointed by God's prophet Samuel, a true type of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who made himself of no reputation, came into this world for the deliverance of his people. And here's David. He came to the camp of Saul. Humble. Waited on God. I want you to look at his obedience. There's his humility. Look at his obedience. Verse 20. David rose up in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. Now they hadn't started fighting. They're just lining up. They're just squaring off. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren as he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the man that stood by, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistines and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Here was David listening to what Saul had said concerning what Saul was going to do for the man that killed this giant right here. David rehearsed that again. He said, "Now, you said, king's going to give him great riches, give him his daughter, and his land's going to be free. Family was going to be free." That's what he said. Now, that's right. That's what the king said. And David said by faith, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is that he defies the army of God? Who is this man that stands in rebellion against God's anointed?" I want you to look at what Saul promised, what the king promised to the man that destroyed this Philistine right here. First thing, it says the king will enrich him with great riches. The one that conquers this one that stands against God and stands against God's people, God's anointed, God's heritage, the king is going to give that man great riches. If you want to, you can turn to Hebrews 1:1. I'm 1:1-2. Hebrews 1:1-2. Listen to this. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." What's going to be given to the one that stands and destroys this one that stands in opposition to God and to God's people? The scripture says the king will enrich him with great riches. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ earned as the Son of Man? What He earned? Everything. He is heir of all things. How? By His obedience. By His power. By His faith. He is the heir of all things. What else is He going to have? The king will give Him his daughter. Did not the Father choose the bride for Christ before the foundation of the world? Everlastingly betrothed Him? Were they not the Father's to give? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me." What shall be done to the one that stands and destroys this one in opposition? The king is going to give him his daughter. And the third thing is he's going to make his father's house free in Israel. Listen to this. Let me tell you how free God's people are in Christ. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Them who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, by His power, by His might, by His obedience, is heir to all things, and we're joint heirs with Him. Joint heirs in Him, with Him. We're married to Him, having been given to Him by the Father, and we're free in Christ Jesus. Free from sin, free from debt, free from the law. I want you to look at David's opposition, though, in his own household. Verse 28-29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" He came unto his own, the Scripture says, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his own received him not. Here is David in chapter 17, chapter 16, said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. David is very aware of what's going on. David knows exactly what he's saying under the inspiration of God's Spirit. David is the one that said, by faith, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" David's brethren, his brothers, said, "What are you doing here? You're coming over here just so you can watch what's going on." David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Oh, thanks be unto God. In spite of our blindness and ignorance, in the days of our unregeneracy, for sure. But even now. Thanks be unto God that God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is long-suffering to us, to His people, to His elect, not willing that any of His elect should perish. Is there not a cause? Did not the Lord Jesus Christ honor God's law that we might be robed in His righteousness? Did He not walk in perfect obedience that we might be robed in that obedience? Is there not a cause? Must he not die of Calvary's tree that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law? Oh, thanks be unto God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, there is a cause. I want you to look at David's strength and faith. Verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. David said to Saul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord was on David, let no man's heart fail because of him. That is, that Philistine, that Goliath, thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him, smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Boy, you talk about a statement of faith. He said, as the Lord delivered me out of the hand of the paw of that lion, that bear, he said, God will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine right here. God Almighty, this is our confidence. This is all of our hope that the Lord will deliver us. We don't have a maybe deliverance. We don't have a hope. I hope it makes it. It's not a possibility that it'll make it. Boy, I hope that God's able. David said, the Lord will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Well, David's getting ready to go up against this Philistine. Let's look at David's weapons of victory. Verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass on his head, upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. And he had not proved it, hadn't tested it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He disesteemed him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, red, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now, Saul tried to arm David like Saul. Saul tried to arm David like Goliath was armed. Get him a helmet on him. Get him a spear, sword. But David said, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. Not tested them. God Almighty hadn't shown me these to be weapons worthy of the fight. So he took what God provided. He took what God had proved to him. He took what God had shown him to be mighty. Here's what he took. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. I looked that up. A traveling bag. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now from this, I know. David told that Philistine, he said, verse 45, he told the Philistine, he told the flesh, he told the great champion, Satan, represented Satan. He said, thou comest to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield. Carnal weapons. Carnal weapons. But David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I know this. I know that David was going to fight Goliath. And here is David's weapons. The name of the Lord. That's his weapons. You say, well, I thought he had a sling and a stone, and he did. He did. And all that he had set forth the name, the authority, the character of Almighty God. I come to you. You have a sword, a spear, and he said, you come to me with your shield. And he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. So he went and he picked up 5 smooth stones. This is something that I would just greatly, greatly pray that the Lord bless. I don't want to stretch. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to labor the Scriptures. I don't want to rest, W-R-E-S-T. I don't want to rest, twist the Scriptures. And there's so much that's in God's Word that I know that it's so, and we look and we see. But these 5 smooth stones, I can see so much. There's so many things that I can see. I talked to Brother Todd Nybert one time, and we was talking about, I don't know, I may have been going through Song of Solomon or Revelation, and I remember something Todd told me. He said, you know, Marvin, he said, there's so many things in Scriptures. He said, if we see something in Scripture, though it may not be exactly what you've heard before, but it's right. He said, then it's so. If it magnifies the Lord, then it's right. There's so much. We'll never exhaust these Scriptures. Never. Never. But I know that David picked up 5 smooth stones. I thought of so many things that 5 represented. Brother Neil preached a beautiful message on the 5 stones. Glorifying message to God Almighty. And I thought about those 5 stones. What sets forth those 5 smooth stones? David gave indication. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I want you to turn with me as we come to the end of this to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. David, now remember this. Don't forget. David is a picture of Christ. Here's our mighty David. The mighty David himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mighty David, God's Son, the spiritual David that's standing before all that opposes God's people. 5 stones he picked up. And he said concerning him coming, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, on his shoulder. And his name, and David said, this is who I come before you. This is who I come before. It's the name of the Lord. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. How did David, our great David, how did he defeat all that opposes God's people? Sin, self, the world, Satan. He opposed him by the child that was born, the son that was given, the God-man who was wonderful. How could we exhaust that name? Wonderful. Wonderful. The wonderful surety. He who is wonderful in His incarnate birth, His wonderful life, His wonderful death, His wonderful ascension, His wonderful mediation. I come to you in the name of Him who is wonderful, the Counselor, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I come before you in the name of Him who is the Mighty God. Before Him that every knee, even you, Goliath, is going to bow. And your tongue is going to confess that He's Lord to the glory of God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace who made peace for us. How did David come before Goliath? He came as a shepherd. He came as a shepherd. A shepherd. A staff, a sling, a script, 5 stones. And he said, I come before you in the name of the Lord. And he reached in and he grabbed one stone. Which one did you grab? Didn't make any difference. Didn't make any difference. They all stand together. They'd all stand or fall together. And by that one stone, the rock himself, that pictured his mighty sacrifice at Calvary. One shot. Bam! By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of one, by one sacrifice, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One shot. One mighty blow. One victory. David, as a type of Christ, wrought victory. As a picture of our blessed Lord, as the humble servant of God. God's shepherd, who alone, with one mighty blow, by the power of his own hand, destroyed forever everything that opposes us. Oh, the faith of David, our great, great, pictured as our great high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake, amen.